they also are proud that they're in the fight. Yeah. They're proud that they're making a difference.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth, that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with MassMEP. Thank you for joining us for part one of a two-part series, Traversing Turbulent Times, Insight from Manufacturers During COVID-19. It's hard to distance yourself from COVID-19 these days, and if we could social distance ourselves from it, we might not feel so tentative and lonely, but it's everywhere and consumes the news, our workplace, and our families. We want to take an up-close look at manufacturers and how they are coping with these uncertain times. We've done podcasts in the past focusing on the efforts to provide support through ourselves at MassMEP, MassHire, the Commonwealth through the ERT, but we haven't touched the side of the human element of going to work in a manufacturing facility each day. And this is why we are here. So I'd like to welcome our special co-host today, MassMEP President John Killam. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Haley.
So we've had you, you did a podcast with us back at the end of March, and you spoke to us about how MassMEP has pivoted to the COVID-19 pandemic. You actually were a guest on another podcast I saw, and you got to speak there as well. So you're taking the podcast by storm, I guess.
It's a different world.
You did a great job, though, and obviously you're back with us today. And today, we are very lucky. We have two trailblazers in the manufacturing industry with us, and they're going to help us take a look at what's happening with them on the ground level with manufacturers. So I'd like to welcome Diane Ferreira, the Director of Human Resources for AccuRound, and Paula Martel, the Human Resource Manager for Northeastern Machine. Welcome, Diane and Paula.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. So, ladies, I'm going to ask each one of you. Diane, would you give us a little bit of background on AccuRounds?
Sure. We are a manufacturer of custom precision components, and we service a multitude of industries such as semiconductor, aerospace, defense, some automotive, chromatography, medical, energy. So we service quite a few in different types of industries. And I've been with AccuRounds for 16 years this summer. And don't know what else you'd like me to tell you, but that kind of gives you a quick summary of it.
That's great. No, that's awesome. So you guys are pretty busy over there. And that's great.
Yeah.
You've been with them as long as you have. That's really, in today's day and age, that's a pretty awesome feat. So Paula, how about you? Would give us a peek at the Northeastern Machine.
Yeah, Northeastern Machine was established in 1964, so we're a 56-year-old company. We are also a contract manufacturer making precision components for the defense industry, life science, lab automation, medical device. We're also making parts for the defense industry. So we are essential in the COVID-19 era.
Okay. So you and Paula, how long have you been with Northeastern Machine?
I've been there for 7 years and have been in the manufacturing industry, either in operations or HR, for 17 years.
All right. So quite a good amount of time and experience for both of you in manufacturing. So Paula, you did say you are an essential. Diane, did you guys fall under essential for COVID-19?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so you both fall. So John, I'm going to kind of pin this back onto you. In the past couple of weeks, is there one thing that you've seen come full circle to help keep these manufacturers up and running, whether essential or non-essential?
So the first observation, Haley, is this, that most of our manufacturers here in Massachusetts stayed active. They kept running their businesses, primarily because these small organizations are critical to the DoD supply chain, the medical device supply chain, food, aerospace, as we had heard. So these stable manufacturers like Northeastern Machine and AccuRounds have built up a really good customer base that has allowed them to keep producing during these times. The challenge has been for the manufacturers who were not considered essential. And for them, the opportunity's really been in supporting the Massachusetts supply of PPE, the personal protection equipment for the healthcare sector. Through the state, and I know Diane knows this because Mike Tomasi, the owner of AccuRounds, is the chair of the Advanced Manufacturing Collaborative, and he's been working with us as well on the Manufacturing Emergency Response Team, which is attempting to work with manufacturers here in Massachusetts to pivot their operations to start producing something different than they normally do. And the different would be these PPE medical supplies. And so the biggest change we've seen around that is a number of manufacturers who have stepped up and said they're going to participate in this effort. Many early out of the gate, like Flexcon, just made product and distributed through their communities, their local communities. Some of the manufacturers are looking to sell their product as well. But there's one other caveat that I want to bring forward, and I'm more concerned about than anything else. And that is, when we come out of this, the sense of urgency our manufacturers have had has been amazing. But when this pandemic is over, if you will we forget what happened? And I'm afraid we will, because what we've exposed is a very fragile supply chain, not only in Massachusetts, but in the United States. And that supply chain needs a lot of work and coordination. On the positive side, though, I don't believe manufacturing has been recognized as important as it is today. And I think we're going to come out of this, manufacturing will come out of this, with a much higher respect from the community as to what manufacturers can do and the importance of manufacturing in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Diane, I'm going to ask you, maybe give us an idea or maybe share the picture of what things are looking like for you right now, and maybe what, you know, like what John was saying earlier, when moving forward, how this might change, if at all.
Sure. So initially, when this all started in the beginning of March, we were very busy, and we started seeing customers pull forward orders that were from quarter three. We didn't have to lay anyone off, and we didn't have to reduce hours, which was great. But now we're starting to see a little bit of a slowdown, especially in aerospace. But at the same time, just like John had said, we're starting to receive quoting requests from companies and industries that we haven't previously done business with. And we think part of that is because, you know, so many U.S. manufacturers are unable to get product from China, and that we were so dependent on them. So for us, we make about a half a dozen different components that are used by drug companies that manufacture vaccines. So right now we are very busy with that. So we're seeing kind of a mixed thing now. At the beginning, I think everybody was, but we're starting to see a slowdown, and we're starting to hear that, you know, May, June may be slow for a lot of our customers.
Paula, how about for you on that side of it?
So we have a mixed bag as well. And we were busy in some areas of the shop. We do different types of jobs in different departments, different types of equipment, making different types of parts, mostly the size of the part changes. What we saw in the initial stages was that we had our turning department, our conventional turning department, was completely, the orders had completely stopped. And those orders had been impacted by industry slowdowns and by shelter in place orders for the customer. And so we did have two layoffs in the early stages of the COVID-19 response. What we are seeing currently is a large increase in some orders, specifically parts that are used to make ventilators. And we are also seeing a large uptick in lab automation parts because those are also in the vaccine arena. And so we are seeing large rush volume orders in those places. We don't have a good sense of what orders look like as coronavirus ebbs. And while no one has canceled an order, some companies have had to push orders out.
So I'm gonna throw this one out there for you guys. This is kind of this is off of what maybe we had spoke about we would talk to. I'm gonna ask you this, Paula and Diane, both of you. I'll start with Paula. Did either of you have some type of a contingency or business continuance plan?
We did have a business continuance plan through one of our industry partners. However, as it related to coronavirus, most of that planning has had to be made on the fly. As CDC guidelines come out, as new information is shared from the federal government and the state government, we are really developing specific coronavirus contingencies.
Okay. Diane, how about for you guys in AccuRounds?
We had a disaster recovery and business continuity plan, and we updated it based on the CDC also. If anything, I think we've learned a lot about ourselves, and you know, I think that some of the changes that we're going to continue going forward, I think is to the advantage of all our employees, because before this coronavirus exploded, we were just dealing with, you know, regular flu symptoms and trying to accommodate folks that way and put things in place to, you know, prevent them from getting sick. So this really had changed things a little bit more than what we were considering.
Yeah, and you know, as you say that, Diane, this whole podcast actually came about because you know, obviously we have a great relationship with both of you, and we probably speak to you both pretty regularly. And Paula had sent an email, and she said something in the email, and it just kind of brought a light to, we haven't really touched on the employee side of things. So it's looking at, you know, what happens with your employees. So you guys, I'd love to hear what both of you have to say. So Diane, maybe you can give me some insight on your side. So about your employees, have you been able to keep them all? And then maybe some ebbs and flows that have gone with that. Have you had to bring more in? You know, maybe I know that Paula had said maybe putting someone behind, having to do some layoffs, but what's been the overall interaction with your employees?
Well, we are, we communicate with our employees all the time, pretty continuously. Initially, we were meeting 3 days a week. Right now, that things have kind of settled down a little bit for us, we've been meeting twice a week with our employees. But the executive team meets on a daily basis just to review customers, you know, our team members, you know, and anything else that, you know, we feel is critical. But, you know, the biggest thing for our employees, obviously, I mean, is our safety of our employees is the most critical thing for us. Yeah. So what we do is, I mean, we instituted all the recommendations that the CDC had recommended. You know, OSHA had also recommended some, and, you know, it pretty much mirrored what Baker and Polito administration did and the World Health Organization. You know, they're the standard ones that you'll see and you'll hear where people aren't supposed to come to work sick. And if they do, we send them home. If anyone does call in sick, I do talk to them, and I have a team member questionnaire that I ask them about their health to see what's going on. You know, we talk about it frequently. Like I said, we have disinfectant wipes and sanitizers, but at the beginning, but now we do not. So we've gotten a little creative and we've made our own hand sanitizers. And we've, you know, created our own disinfectant, not so much wipes, but we made our little contraption, and so that we're keeping things clean. We increased cleaning. You know, obviously we stopped business travel, and we prohibited visitors from coming in. But if we do have an essential worker that needs to come in, we do require them to fill out a vendor questionnaire. So we're doing a lot of things to, you know, at least limit exposure for our employees. We did have about a half a dozen high school co-ops that were working for us. And, you know, since they're co-ops and they do not have school, we do not have them working. And although some of them wanted to, where they're part of the co-op program and it's still the school year, they're not allowed to. So, you know, that was pretty much the biggest change. And then we also had some senior folks that had pre-existing health conditions, and we advised them to take the time. So they've been out since the beginning of the onset of this.
Paula, how about for you guys?
So I would echo much of what Diane's saying. So let me kind of fill in some spots. I think that the most important thing is to give good information to your staff and make sure that information is coming from a tried and true source, the CDC, the Mass State Department of Health. There's plenty of misinformation that your employees are getting from places, and you need to try to avoid that. The internet is not our friend during coronavirus.
Yeah.
We also are meeting with our staff regularly using social distance. We have put a 6-foot measuring stick. How to know you're 6 feet away. We're using floor tiles, 1-foot floor tiles. There need to be 6 between you. 2-foot floor tiles, there need to be 3 between you. Just ways for people to keep in mind that 6-foot distance, because I think once you're speaking to each other and there's machine noise on the shop floor, the tendency is to try to come closer together subconsciously. We've talked with our vendors. Specifically, we wanted to increase the use of gloves in our inspection room. And what we found was we couldn't get gloves. So we ended up using food service gloves, which they had plenty of. And we've set up a throwaway, pick up your gloves, throw them away station as you enter the area where you would do more advanced kind of inspection on equipment, so that people aren't sharing keypads because they're not necessarily able to wash them while the machine is on and running. Mm-hmm. So things, you have to keep thinking about circumstances within your facility and how to respond to them. In our facility, you've both visited, the cafeteria is too small to allow social distancing to gather the staff. So we are currently doing staff meetings in the parking lot. Oh. Everyone puts on their coat, goes out into the parking lot, we make a giant circle, and the manager who needs to speak to the group stands in the center of the circle.
Okay.
So you just need to be adjusting, I guess, to the new normal.
Yeah. I mean, both of you have kind of blanketed the same response, and that it seems like communication is extremely, extremely important. In the amount of times, do you have any other advice on how to keep employees calm during the pandemic? Paula, how about for you?
I think that people respond to information. I think that if they have a concern, that you're responding to it, that you are taking their concern seriously, their anxiety seriously, and that you're trying to think ahead. I think the thing that employees want to know is that you have a plan. So if we have a case, what's our plan?
Right.
We're going to quarantine. If you need to stay home with your child, we have a plan.
Yeah.
You can take sick time and we will work with you intermittently. You know, they have concerns about their own life and their own exposure, but they also are proud that they're in the fight.
Yeah.
They're proud that they're making a difference. So you're just really trying to balance that fear doesn't overtake, and that they're certain that you have their concerns in the forefront of your mind as the manager or the owner of the company.
How about for you, Diane?
Pretty much everything Paula said is exactly how we've been doing things here too. We are providing as much flexibility as humanly possible. Yeah. We have staggered our breaks and our lunches. We've offered people different hours if they want to work different hours. Day of week doesn't matter right now because there's nothing that people can go to on weekends. So if people want to work weekends to limit their exposure to anybody else, they can do that. So the folks that we could allow to telecommute, we have a few that do that. But where our business is primarily the machining, it's difficult. But I agree with Paula. I mean, we talk to all our folks. We try to accommodate everything. I think each one of us can relate personally to this because this virus is impacting every single human being out there. So they know, like we know how they're feeling, and I think that helps them. And I agree with Paula too. Their biggest concern was what's the plan if someone tests positive. The other thing that we worked very hard at is curbing some of the, it's not gossip, but inaccurate stories of employees, because being a small company, keeping things confidential or the person confidential is a little challenging because everybody knows everybody, and, you know, the person will tell someone and then it goes along the path. We discovered early on that stories were completely and totally blown out of proportion and inaccurate. So, In any time anything started spreading, we immediately pulled everyone together to explain this is what it is. And I think it calmed them to know that, wow, boy, did that story get mixed up. And so we're telling people to, come to us. If they have any questions or concerns, don't get caught in the stories that are going out on the floor, because it's all misinformation.
Yeah.
So it kind of echo that.
Yeah, it seems to me like, I'm just putting down like three really big points. It's communication, having a plan, and being there for support is really what seems to stick out the most. John, how about you? Do you have any questions you'd like to ask the ladies here?
I do, but now I have to get back to the right screen. I'm sure you know about the stimulus bill and the CARES Act, but have either of you been able to leverage the assets from the CARES Act? Paula, if you want to start first, that would be great.
We have leveraged the CARES Act to deal with circumstances coming up in our workforce. So for example, the CARES Act gives expanded sick leave to employees who need to care for a child at home, care for a loved one who's ill, do their own quarantining. So we have two employees who have children at home without school that are both working part-time and taking intermittent sick leave currently. We expect if school's not back in session, then in May that will become EFMLA under the Stimulus Act, and those employees will continue to work part-time. We have applied for and been awarded a PPP loan, and we'll use that to keep payroll stabilized. And it really, for the manufacturer that's open and operating, it really gives you some peace of mind if you do have a positive case and need to shut down, that you would be able to maintain everyone on payroll.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Diane, how about you?
Same thing. We have folks that are using the expanded sick leave, the emergency paid sick leave and the expanded family medical leave. We also applied for the paycheck protection program, and we're just waiting to hear on that. And I guess I don't know if this is one of the challenges we do have when we talk about employees and the human element and what we're kind of up against. I think these benefits are fabulous. What's difficult are employees that say, you know, I'm not getting hazard pay and I'm coming to work every day and people are unemployed and they're going to get paid extra $600 a week to stay at home and protect themselves and their families. And so I think for us, one of the biggest challenges is that little aspect too, because all these benefits are great, but 2 weeks is 2 weeks. So people that are high risk then go into their paid time off. So I think that's a big challenge for us as an employer.
That is very interesting. There's so many dynamics when you're working with people that come up, and it's extremely challenging. And I appreciate what both you and your organizations do.
Please join us next week for episode 2 of our 2-part series, Traversing Turbulent Times, Insight from Manufacturers During COVID-19.
Thank you so much for listening to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of MassMEP's podcasts or for more information on how MassMEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.